All right, so to sum up a raw character's frequency times length.
So that's, in general, how we're going to figure that out. What does it end up being in this case? We get, on average, 4.6 bits per character. Now think about this. It's a little bit weird. You can't have 0.6 of a bit. There's no such thing as 0.6 of a bit. So what does it mean for us to have 4.6 bits per character? Well, it's an average. Some of them are 3 and some of them are 6. And if you average them together according to how frequent they are, we end up getting fractional average. But that doesn't mean we're using fractional bits. The total number of bits to write out the Gettysburg Address now becomes a little under 7,000, which is about 57.9%, about 58% of the original ASCII representation. And it's smaller even than the 5-bit representation. So this is kind of cool, right? We went from having all the characters be 5 bits to having some of them be shorter and some of them be longer, but on average we actually saved bits. So we did manage to compress it. We managed to represent the Gettysburg Address with fewer bits than it took to assign each of them the same length of code. There's other ways you can do it. It doesn't always help. But here's the cool thing. Let's see, where are we in time? All right, good. We've got 10 minutes. So I should at least be able to introduce this idea, and we'll practice it next time after Thanksgiving. So Shannon, Claude Shannon was this guy who Hillis talks about in his book. Hillis is really good at name dropping. I don't know if you noticed this, but he mentions like really famous computer scientists and talks about, you know, when he was hanging out with them or was over their house and whatnot. I can't really do that as well, but Shannon is the guy whose name was applied to the building I used to work in. Shannon was dead by the time I worked there, but the building was named after him. And Shannon was the guy who invented information theory, which has to do with how you represent messages with bits when there's noise and randomness and different frequencies of things. And it's the basis of a lot of really cool math that underlies statistics and computer science and various pieces of engineering. So Shannon and, I don't know if it was, I think a colleague of his named Fano, at MIT, they worked on the question of how do you figure out what the absolute best code is. So I give you a bunch of characters and I tell you how frequently they appear. You have to come up with the code that actually minimizes the total message length for messages from this population of characters. And they couldn't solve it. It seemed like a really hard problem. They came up with a heuristic that was pretty good, but they couldn't find the minimum length code. And so Fano apparently was teaching a class at MIT and assigned this as a question just to piss off, to frustrate his students or to make them work a little bit. And interestingly, there was a guy named Huffman who was actually in the class, not knowing that it was not a solved problem, solved it. And as a result, they published a paper, and now these Huffman codes are named after Huffman and not Fano, the jerky professor who tried to stump him. So basically, he didn't know. He was able to solve the problem. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to teach you the Huffman coding algorithm, which I don't think I have time to get all the way through, but I'll at least introduce the idea. So the first thing to notice is that you can take these variable length codes, or even the fixed length codes, and you can represent them as a tree, where the top of the tree is, well, there's no bits so far. Then we have a branch that is for the things that start with 0 and a branch for the things that start with 1. Under the 0 branch, we then divide on the second bit, 0 or 1, and then the third bit, 0 or 1, and then at the leaves are the actual character represented by that pattern. So if we look up here, the root of the tree is at the tip of the triangle over there. We go left, 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 and we get S. Space. So 0, 0, 0 is the code for space. 0, 0, 1, left, left, right, gets us to the E. So the code for E is 0, 0, 1. T is left, right, left. Right? We follow the first triangle to the left, the second one to the right, and the third one to the left, and we get the T. So the code for T is 0, 1, 0. 0, 1, 1 is the A. And now, those are all the 3-bit codes from that original code. What is the code for O? That's right, left, 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 left. So 1000000 is the O's. So you're following this? So if what's the code for U, the letter U?
1, 0, 1, 1.
All right. It's a little tricky, but we're just tracing left and right on the tree. We had to go to the right, then to the left, then to the right, 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 and then to the left to get to this leaf here where the U was. Okay? It would be nicer if we could do it the other way. Actually, I guess you can. We can read the bits off backwards. So M, we had to go, the last thing we had to do was go left, and the thing before that was a right, and the thing before that was a left, and the thing before that was a left, thing before that was a right, thing before that was a right. So we can, I did it backwards. So 1, 1, 0, 0, 1, 0 is M. I don't know if that was any easier. It was harder for me. Alright, so any tree, we put letters at the leaves, we get a code. There's E, there's W. Alright. So Huffman coding is going to go like this. We're going to make each character a subtree block with count equal to its frequency. We're going to merge two blocks of the smallest counts and merge them into the left and right branches, increase the counts, and repeat until we've merged everything together. So here's a concrete example. What we're going to do is we're going to make Huffman codes for small words, because doing it for the whole Gettysburg Address is tedious. For people, it's bad for computers. So here's what we're going to do. Here's just a little piece of the character set. Comma, U, dash, P, B, M, period, Y, line break, K, Q. And those are the counts for those letters right above it. And then what we're going to do is we're going to take the two smallest, the ones with the two smallest counts. So in this case, it's the K with the count of 3 and the Q with the count of 1. And we're going to merge them together. We're going to connect them up into a tree. And we're going to say the count for that little subtree is 4. So now, the number of things that have counts is 1 fewer than it was before. We took out two letters, we joined them into a single block, and added that back into the list. So now we've got comma with 22, U with 21, dash with 15, P with 15, B with 14, M with 13, period with dot with 10, Y with 10, KQ together as a unit with 4, and then line break with 4. So again, we take the two smallest counts and merge them together in a tree. So now the K, the Q, and the line break have all come together to form one unit with a count of 8. You get a 4 and a 4, so that becomes an 8. It's still in the same place in the sorted list. We take the two smallest, which is now Y with a count of 10, and KQ and line break all together with a count of 8, and merge them together into a tree. That count of that new unit is now 18. So you can see in the next line, I put that in the order, comma, U, and then that big block, dash, P, B, M, and dot. Again, we take the two smallest ones and we merge them together. So now it's M and dot get merged together to form a new unit with the size of 23. So the M dot combination with 23, then comma with 22, and so on down the line. We take the two smallest, which are now P and B, with counts of 15 and 14. We merge them together into a subtree. Repeat it up there to the top. That subtree has size of 29, so it's on the far left. And then the two smallest things are now that big block with Y through line break with a count of 18, and dash with a count of 15. We merge them together in a block. Eventually, we're going to run out of things to merge together and get this code tree. So this is the code tree for the whole Gettysburg Address. It's got, notice the count at the tippy top, 1,482. That's the total number of characters in the Gettysburg Address. Each time we merge two characters together, we get the sum of their character counts. So once we've merged everything into one block, it's the total length of the message that we're encoding. So that's what we've done. We've got this tree, and now we assign each of the letters at the leaves is assigned a character code, just like we did before. So starting at the top, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0 is N. Okay. So here is the code that we get by applying Huffman coding to the Gettysburg Address. We get space having the shortest code, just 2 bits. Why? Because like every word has a space in it. And right after a word, there's a space. There's a lot of spaces, it gets a very short code. The letter E is also very common in English. It gets a code that has 3 characters. T gets 4, A, O, H, R, they all get 4. These are like the letters that you want to pick if you're playing, what's that game show where you determine the letters?
Wheel of Fortune.
Wheel of Fortune, right. These are like, the letters that come up a lot in English, the ones that you want to see, where they are on the board. N gets 5 bits, and then you get all the way down to Q. Look how long the code for Q is. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 10 long. But there's only one queue, I think, only one queue in the whole thing is perfect address. It doesn't matter that it has a non-code. And in this case, when you represent the whole getting perfect address, we're down to 4.1 bits per character, or a total of about 52% the size of the original encoding. There is no way to do better on the Gettysburg address if you're doing a code that's character by character. Programs like zip compression on the computer actually groups together characters, so you get a special code for THE, because that comes up a lot in English. So what zip compression does is it actually looks at the message and finds patterns in it, and finds a way of representing it in terms of very, very small number of bits. So what we're going to do next time is practice encoding some smaller words so you can get this Huffman encoding thing down and develop your own code for short messages. I guess that's it. Thanks.